actually to do a live cast, Facebook live cast this morning, and let my son give him a moment to get set up for that and get all the passwords in there and everything. We're good? We got the thumbs up this morning. Like to welcome myself. I'd like to welcome the can everyone hear me okay? I've got the lapel mic on. Can everyone hear me okay this morning? Okay. It could be a little louder. Okay. Like to welcome Greg and Brittany Judy this morning, and glad to have you out today and their children coming to visit. And I remember Greg from years ago. He may not remember me, but I remember him. So when your dad was still ministering. So good to have you out today, and blessings to you, and give you a good week here, give you a good vacation, give you a good rest, and may the Lord bless you as we pray that the Lord blesses all of us this morning. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll ask the Lord for his blessing one more time as before we read his word. Lord, we ask that you would bless us today. Lord, that your hand would be upon us. Lord, we know that we need you to help open our eyes and see these wonderful things out of your word. And Lord, we ask that you do this morning as we contemplate these wonderful things. And Lord, help us to take them in. Help us to understand it. And Lord, help us to grow in them. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll just read a few verses here. Verses 9 through 11, just a few verses. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, it's been a few weeks, but the last time we discussed Colossians, we discussed some different things that you gardeners and you farmers use to give plants a good start in the fields and in your gardens. And one example I gave was the application of liquid fertilizer. Was this liquid fertilizer, it would be applied, it's a liquid form, and that means that the plant readily takes it in. It doesn't need to be mixed with water. It can readily take it in. And it's also applied next to the row. It's right there with us, so that it's right there with it, so it's ready to use it. And it gets a good shot of these necessary nutrients to start growth, and these necessary nutrients that they would need throughout the plant's life, and in a form that's ready to use. Well, when the Lord saves a sinner, he does the same thing. He infuses them with essential graces, these necessary nutrients that they need to grow and to thrive in Christ. And the Apostle Paul had heard of these essential graces that were present in the church of Colossae. If you look back in Colossae, just a few verses before, verses 3 through 5, where Paul says, "Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, of the gospel, faith in Christ, love for others, and hope of glory in Christ." These are the three essential graces that the Lord gives everybody. If you're a Christian today, these graces should be present in your life, and that they should be made abundant, and that they help you grow throughout your life. See, faith is the grace that binds us to Christ. We're bound to Christ by faith. There is no Christianity without faith. It's the foundational grace. Christ is the object of our faith, and when we lay hold of Christ by faith, we cling to Him by faith. Love is the grace that binds us to each other. And if you read through Corinthians, you'll see that Paul talks about the different gifts that God gives to everyone in the church, and everyone has special talents in the church. We can see that in this church. Everyone has different special talents. We came here. It's love. Love keeps us all together. Love binds us together. Love for one another. Love for Christ shown in one another. Love for Christ seen in one another. This is the gift that binds us all to each other. And hope, that is the grace that binds us to eternity. Hope is this grace that binds us to eternity. And hope here is not subjective. It's not a feeling. It's not like we wish we go to heaven. It's like we are sure we'll go to heaven. When we're sure in Christ, it's like my wife, she brought up a very good point. She says, when you look when you're driving along in your car, your front windshield is 6 feet wide and you can see all in front of you very well. But how big is the rearview mirror? It's only that big, isn't it? And you can't hardly see to back up. And that's why we shouldn't try to look behind us. We should be aware of what's behind us. But we shouldn't try driving backwards. We should go forwards and looking upwards and keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus. These things. And these things are that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in verse 9. And he prays that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Verse 10, and that we might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Verse 11, and this word filled here, it conveys growth for him. He wants you to produce fruit for him, to produce fruit. And Peter would reflect this in the few verses of scripture that our brother Ron read this morning in 2 Peter. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware ye lest that we would grow, in grace, as Peter would put it. See, God has a purpose for all things. If we consider what we considered last week, consider flowers that we plant. Why do we plant them? We plant them for their beauty. They might be beautiful. They might bloom. Why do we plant the vegetables? We plant did not grow and provide shade and provide lumber. What kind of a world would that be? We plant them for all these things that would benefit us, right? We expect them to grow. They need growth. They need growth. We need growth. God has a purpose for you. Christ has died for you. He saved you. And he's established you in Christ. You're secure in Christ. And he's given you. Growth is necessary for life. And if you ask a gardener like my wife, if a plant's not growing, it's dead. We need growth. We need growth. But how do we grow and how do we bear fruit for the Lord? Paul prays for the three things that are needed for us to grow. And the first thing that he prays for, that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will here in verse 9, know what he's thinking. That seems to be a daunting task for anyone out there to do such a thing, and a lot of people struggled trying to figure this man out. But trying to know God's will for your life can be just as frustrating. You know, young people, they struggle to know what to do when they grow. There's all kinds of decisions that people struggle with and they don't know what to do. Even Christians struggle every day not knowing what direction to take. What's God's will for my life? And even mature Christians who are retired, they struggle with a sense of worth for their life. You're retired and you don't know what to do. You've spent your whole life producing and making things and providing for your family, and now you're retired, and actually people can fall into depression because they don't know what to do now. They're retired. They don't know what to do. What's the Lord's purpose for you? Well, let's take a lesson from the flowers and the plants and the trees. Do any of these things, do any of the flowers and the plants and the trees, do they know God's will and do they know God's purpose? No, they don't. But flowers and the plants and the trees, that's what they do every day. They fulfill God's purpose. They fulfill God's purpose, which is more than I can say for a lot of Christians. At least these inanimate objects fulfill God's purpose in doing what the Lord's designed them to do. They grow and they produce. And this is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. You know, when my family started attending the church in Morristown, we were a mess. You know, we had no direction and we had no purpose. And the pastor there, he immediately informed us of what that church's purpose was. And that was to give the gospel to those around us and to teach others to do the same. It's that simple. And that simple purpose kind of brought our family together and gave us direction. And this is great, God's great unifying purpose as well. It's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. And we live for the gospel. This is God's purpose. Is understanding the gospel, living for the gospel, living for God, and being conformed to it, and believing the gospel. This is God's purpose for us. It's salvation. This is God's great purpose. It's salvation. And see, those who know God's saving grace, they have an advantage. They go forward with a sense of purpose. God's purpose in this gospel of Christ is the knowledge of God and the sum of His will. God wants us to know His Son, and He wants us to know this salvation. This is exactly what Paul prays for in Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is. Now, I remember we had a Bible study a few weeks ago, and our brother Steve, he brought up that we talked about the verse in Psalm 119 where the psalmist praise and ask that he might behold wondrous things out of thy word. And I know Brother Steve, he brought up this exact verses here in Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the, that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Knowing God's will is knowing God. Knowing the Lord Jesus is knowing God. And there's where to start. And this is true wisdom. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Now this growth, it's a slow process. And if you sit and stare at a plant or a flower, you'll never notice the growth. You'll never see it. Although I remember my little brother, that my brother Jesse, he actually did a... in a school project when he was in elementary school, he drew a picture, and there's two people standing in a grassy field, and the teacher asked, "Well, what's going on in this picture?" And my brother said, "This is my brother Jesse." Says, "Well, that's me and my big brother Joe. We're watching the grass grow." And if you ask my parents, they'd probably tell you that you just don't really understand how accurate that statement is unless you know my brother and I. So, but growth is a slow process. Trees grow so slowly that you don't even notice them growing at all. But the truth of the matter is the trees are as much growing down as they are up. As they're growing up, they're actually putting roots deeper into the ground, sinking their massive root structure deeper into the soils to support them for when the wind and the storm comes. As a matter of fact, the root system is as wide as the top of the tree and almost as deep. And this is reason for this. You know, if a tree is planted in a biosphere, you know what a biosphere is? It's just a bubble. If a tree's planted in a biosphere, when it gets to maturity, it'll fall over. Because there's no wind to make the roots strong. There's no trials. There's no wind and there's no storms. When it matures, it will just fall over. So when the Christian grows, we are rooted and grounded in Christ, and our roots grow deep. We grow slowly, but our roots grow deep, and they're strong, and we resist the wind, and we resist the storms. And this is what you have in Christ. The roots are planted deep, and they're planted strong. At planting, the fertilizer is placed beside the plant so it can easily absorb these nutrients, so that it can grow deep and so it can grow strong. And then the Word of God needs to be near us as well for us to grow in grace, that we might feed off of it, that we might grow to maturity and bear fruit, that we might fulfill the purpose that God has for each of us. This knowledge that we have in our Lord Jesus, we talked about this last Wednesday, that it's the foundation. The Lord Jesus is the foundation that's laid in our lives. This doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is the cornerstone that we're built upon. And we need His Word. We need His doctrine in us. And secondly, that what Paul's prays for, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, Paul prays. You know, it's not enough that we just know the way, but we are to walk the way. We are to put our knowledge of Christ into practice, and we're to be fruitful. This is what we're commanded to do. Hebrews 11:13, speaking of those in the hall of faith, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And this is what it means to be fruitful, and this is what it means to walk in the way. It means to see the promises of God by faith, to be persuaded by them, and to embrace them, and to confess them, and to never let them go. This is what those did who are in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. We're saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. It's accompanied by obedience. It's accompanied by obedience. The Christian is both justified, he's accepted, and he's sanctified. He's made holy. And they know God, and they walk after God. And there are some who profess that they're once saved and then they turn back to the life of sin and fornication afterwards. This is no true Christian. If a tree stops growing, it's dead. And what good is a tree that doesn't bear fruit? It's dead. Where there's no growth, there's no life. Now my wife, she prunes the branches and the blossoms off her tomato plants and her apple trees, because too many blossoms and branches can choke out the sunlight and cause root rot or stem rot. I didn't know that until my wife explained it to me. Too many blossoms will compete for nutrients, and it'll make the fruit small. It'll make it sour on an apple tree. So what's your fruit like when you bear Christ? Is it too small or is it sour? And sometimes we load up our lives with so many worldly things that what we do for Christ suffers. We try to do too much. And that's why we go along and we pick off certain blossoms and we trim the branches so that our fruit is big and it's sweet for Christ. We're to prune away the unnecessary and the excess things of this world that can affect our walk with God. And too many things of this world can rob us of our zeal and our vigor and our testimony for Christ. We're to prune away these things that are unnecessary. This is walking for the Lord. So far in Paul's prayer, we've seen that we're filled, that Paul prays to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He prays that we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And lastly, we see that we are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You know, tomatoes are a huge part of our diet at home, and Anne takes special attention to ensure that they grow and that they thrive. She makes sure that they're strengthened well. She not only gives them the nutrients that she needs, and she waters them, and she not only takes care of them and pulls all the weeds, but she puts a wire cage around them, and she stakes them to the ground so that they'll withstand the wind and the storms. And this not only keeps the tomato-eating varmints away, but it also gives them support. In similar fashion, the Lord strengthens and supports and protects those who follow him in the way. God gives them strength, patience, and long-suffering, and he gives them joy. When we walk in the Lord, the devil's going to try to drive you off that path, I guarantee it. When you make a profession for Christ, the devil's going to try to stand and resist it. If we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is one of my favorite passages, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read these to you. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. And David was greatly distressed for the people's sake. For the people spake of stoning him because of the soul of the people was grieved. And every man for his sons and for his daughters. And you look at David here. You look what's going on in his life, right? Very familiar passage. King Saul is trying to hunt him down and to kill him. David, he fled and he's living in exiles with all people, the Philistines. And he's even made a league with the king of the Philistines, the enemy. The Amalekites have just stolen his wives and his family along with everyone else's families. And when they had taken everything, they'd set everything that they didn't want on fire and burned it to the ground. And here, every one of his loyal followers, these are the people that followed him through thick and thin, and now they were considering stoning him and putting him to death. Now, to say that this is a bad day for David, and to say that he was greatly distressed, I think is a huge understatement. This might be a low. This might be the one of the low points of his life, if not the low point. But I want you to look at what it says at the end of verse 6 here of 1 Samuel chapter 30, where it says, David encouraged, or this word means strengthened. David encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Did you read that? Did you see that? Did I just miss something here? Did I just miss something completely? That how do you go from him saying that he just encouraged himself and turned everything around? And he sought the Lord, and the Lord promised him if he pursued that he would recover everything. And he did. But how did he do that? How did David do that? How did he encourage himself? How did he strengthen himself in the Lord? Has anyone else ever been here in this position? Has anyone else been to the point where I've reached the end of the road? I don't know what to do. I've really messed up now, and I don't know where to turn. Everybody's against me. Everybody is saying things against me. Even my closest friends are ready to kill me because of the poor decisions I've made. Has anyone been here? Has anyone felt like that? Because I have at one time or another. And David here, he says he's encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. How did he do that? Well, you take your troubles to God, and that's what he did. And you take, and it's this miracle, it's called imputation. You take your guilt to Christ, and he gives you his righteousness. And you take your sin to Jesus, and he gives you his forgiveness. You take your distresses to him, and he gives you his encouragement. And you take your weakness to God, and he gives you his strength. That's what God does for you. It's an exchange. You give him your weakness, and he gives you his strength. You give him your despair and your discouragement, and he encourages you. And can it be that simple? Can it really be that easy? We simply give these things over to the Lord that we can't handle, we can't do. And he strengthens us with his might. Christ's might. Christ is mighty to save. The gospel is the answer for despair. Are you downcast? Are you sorrowful? Are you heavy laden with burdens that you cannot bear? The Lord Jesus can bear them. He can bear them all. He can handle them all. Amen. Amen. We're strengthened with might. We're strengthened with might according to his glorious power. This glorious power of the gospel. We're strengthened with might. We're filled with the knowledge of his will. We just follow him. That's all we have to do. We walk worthy and all pleasing in Christ. All we have to do is follow him. And all we have to do is know him. And in him, we bear fruit because he strengthens us and he lifts us up and he supports us. And I'll have the piano player and Isaac come forward now as we sing a closing hymn. And then after that, we'll have the closing benediction. I think it's hymn number 282. Turn to hymn number 282.
Christ has done so much for us in our lives. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. And we will do stand with 1-4 for this one.
You know, it was a few years ago, a thunderstorm passed through our area and tree limbs were blown down and water was standing in low places. And when I got home, they were huge and that they were fully green. They started to lean over in this fierce wind. And so my wife had taken this. It's a steel panel. It's a hog panel. And it's made of wire, and it's twice as thick as the cages that were holding them. And she shoved it up against the tomatoes, and she anchored it so that the tomatoes would not lean over anymore. And I remember she said, "Now the wind can blow all at once, and it won't hurt my plants." And this is what the Lord does for us. We're weak. We're powerless, and we don't know which way to go. But the Lord supports us. He lifts us up, and He gives us direction. And this is what He does for us, that He fills us with His knowledge of His will. We walk worthy to all pleasing, bearing fruit. And in Christ we bear fruit. And all we have to do is to lean on Him, and He'll support us. And He'll secure us. That's all we have to do is lean on Him, cling to Him. For He said, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for these blessings today. We thank You for the gospel of Christ. We thank You for the strength that it gives. Lord, we thank You that it teaches the foolish, wise things. And Lord, we do thank You, O Lord, that it takes the weak and it makes us strong. Lord, it takes those who are disheartened, discouraged, and despaired and gives us hope and encouragement, O Lord. We thank You for these wonderful blessings that we have. And so, Lord, help us to cling to Christ that we might lay hold of Him by faith. And, Lord, that we might be secure in all these wonderful things that He gives us through the gospel. We do pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.